This is Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU. I'm Mark Haney. Coming up on today's show, the strange and exotic world of Lafcadio Hearn. But first, local health departments need volunteers to help first responders in case there's a major emergency such as a bioterrorist attack or a natural disaster. A nationwide initiative of the federal government called the Medical Reserve Corps is recruiting people to help in emergency situations. The Northern Kentucky Medical Reserve Corps has an upcoming orientation for those interested in volunteering. Here to talk about the Medical Reserve Corps, our Tri-State Medical Reserve Corps Regional Director Robin Thomas and Coordinator of the Northern Kentucky Medical Reserve Corps, Jessica McElroy. You can join us at 513-419-7100, email talk at wvxu.org, or find us on Facebook or Twitter. Robin and Jessica, thank you for being here today.
Thank you.
Good to see both of you. Robin, start us off by giving us some of the history of the Medical Reserve Corps and how it got its start.
Yeah, sure. Obviously, it came out of the 9/11 2001 terrorist attacks when thousands of medical professionals and non-medical professionals showed up at the hospitals in the area to help with the injured. And they really weren't able to use them because there was no way to do any type of vetting or credentialing or checking licenses, assessing their skills. So they couldn't just let them go in and take care of patients. Hospitals don't work that way. So it became clear that there really needed to do some planning prior to an emergency because they had to turn everybody away, which doesn't feel very good. So at the national office, I believe Medical Reserve Corps originated within this U.S. Surgeon General's office, and they mandated all the states provide some type of registry for people who were interested, specifically medical professionals, to pre-register so local communities could vet them, train them, check their licenses, and prepare them for things like that that might happen.
So what's the registry in Ohio?
The registry in Ohio is called Ohio Responds, and it is the primary registry where Medical Reserve Corps volunteers would go and self-register themselves, fill out all the information, and then the local health departments have access as administrators to go in and check licenses and give them a call and talk to them about what they want to get out of volunteering. And it's worked pretty well. We've been at it for 15 years now, and what is frustrating, I think, sometimes is that no one really recognizes the name Medical Reserve Corps. What is that?
Nobody knows you're out there.
Nobody knows we're out here, but we've been out here doing it for a long time, and it's a challenging uphill battle, I think. So,
Jessica, what's the Kentucky's got its own registry, right?
Yeah, we have a Kentucky Helps is the website. If you Google Kentucky Helps, you can find us. It's pretty much the same exact platform as Ohio uses, just Kentucky version. So,
why is there a need, Jessica, for an organization like the Medical Reserve Corps?
The Medical Reserve Corps, it's really that kind of backup to your health professionals. A lot of, like for our organization, we always tell our volunteers that they're going to be doubling our capacity at the health department to help in disasters. So if something were to happen and it's a public health response, we've got 150 employees at the health department, and you know, response and disasters go for 24 hours for as long as it, you know, weeks it could go. And our volunteers get used just as a health department staff would. So that's kind of the role that they play a big part in.
Mm-hmm. Can you give me some examples of the types of things that volunteers would do?
Yeah, you know, it's all about strengthening the public health infrastructure. And I think people don't really realize the role of public health in a disaster or emergency. So just for example, local public health is responsible for planning for what's called points of dispensing. And we call it a pod. And so we work with our partners to establish pre-established locations where if we had an event where we had to distribute and dispense medical countermeasures like antibiotics or vaccines, we have the ability to do that. And Medical Reserve Corps volunteers are really key to making that work. There just aren't enough local public health staff to go in and work in a pod and do all the roles that are in a pod to actually dispense all the materials in the time frame that we want to dispense them. So, for example, out of the anthrax attacks in 2001, the scenario became, okay, so if there is a community that's exposed to inhalation anthrax spores, how do we dispense antibiotics quickly because it has to be done in about 48 hours before they, as prophylaxis, before they would actually contract anthrax, which has a very high mortality rate. So at the national level, there was some fear about not being able to do it because at that time we were not prepared for a bioterrorism event. Anthrax was something that we had never encountered before. So it really made a priority for public health to be involved in emergency planning because before that they weren't really even at the table. So Medical Reserve Corps is really key to providing that support in a pod. There's a lot of other examples. If you want me to go over those?
Yeah, give us another one or two.
Twice a year, we deploy what's called the Alternative Care Center, which is a regional asset that we have in this region. It's a 210-bed mobile tent hospital. And so we exercise that and set up the tent, set up the electric and the HVAC and all the things that you would need to utilize that space. And Medical Reserve Corps is called upon to help set that up along with hospital staff. So we do that twice a year in the fall and the spring. So that's an exercise that's pretty regular. We usually have about 5 to 15 volunteers come out each time we do that exercise. We would love to have more involved in that type of thing because that really takes practice to get those set up, to do it as quickly as possible. Because when a hospital needs that extra space to build medical surge capacity, it's really important to get it up as quickly as possible. And then they might also be asked to work in this ACC. So that's another example. Then, of course, we also support our partners, like American Red Cross, in their mass care operations. In sheltering, public health is responsible for not just shelter inspections, but also disease surveillance. And Medical Reserve Corps can be called upon to help support Red Cross staff, their health services department, to help provide medical and health services within a shelter setting.
Jessica, how big is the Medical Reserve Corps in Northern Kentucky?
Northern Kentucky, we stay about 500 volunteers. We're losing more than we're gaining, unfortunately. Mm. So we really like to get the word out to get more of those people interested and just know who we are. And we're a lower demand volunteer thing, so you don't have to have a lot of time to donate to us, but then you're there in the time we need you. So, yeah, I think we've got about 497 right now, which is a little sad because my goal is to keep 500. So it'd be really nice to get back over that benchmark.
Well, that is the challenge, too, is keeping volunteers engaged and interested in volunteering. And we're lucky we're in a region that doesn't have a lot of natural disasters, which is a good thing. But at the same time, volunteers don't get a lot of experience. So we try to focus on training and participation in exercises as much as possible. And unlike Red Cross, we don't really make it a habit to deploy people to other areas. If that's something that people are interested in, American Red Cross is the place to go for that. But a lot of our volunteers are cross-registered. They're registered for both Red Cross and MRC. So it is a complementary relationship there.
But it sounds like the Medical Reserve Corps, you're serving in your own community for the most
part. Yes, it's all locally driven. There are about 991 MRC units across the country as of this morning, because I just checked the website. And so we have about 8 MRC units in Southwest Ohio, in the 8 counties, one in each county. And we all collaborate together, which is that Tri-State Medical Reserve Corps component that you mentioned when you introduced me. As regional director, I tried to facilitate the planning that all the MRC coordinators work together to leverage resources, because a lot of our MRC coordinators wear multiple hats, and there's a lot of competing priorities for their role within the local health department. Some are part-time. Some are working on accreditation efforts. Some are sanitarians and still doing inspections. So there's a real need to share information, share guidance, share tools, share resources, which has really worked really well in this region since almost the beginning. Everyone's worked together really well.
Do you have to have a medical background, though, to be a volunteer?
No, not at all. We take both medical and non-medical. Going back to like the pods, the point of dispensings that Robin was talking about, some jobs in that, you can have your screeners that are reviewing like your forms to make sure, you know, what medications or vaccines people get and if they can get those and, you know, their counter interactions. You've got your triage where, like, your nurses or doctors could work where they're looking at different interactions and possible illnesses there. But you also need people that just can move stuff. You know, you've got to replenish the vaccine or replenish the medication or drive it from here to there. So we need, the logistics type of people just as well. And then we need data entry personnel too, where, you know, all these forms that we have to fill out for every person, like that all needs to be put into some spreadsheet or something where we can keep track of that and hopefully get reimbursed maybe federally from that during a time of disaster. So there's many, many different
types
of jobs.
Non-medical roles.
Yeah.
Well, there's a huge shortage too in mental health volunteers. That's a huge component when you're undergoing disasters and emergencies is the whole psychological first aid that really needs to be delivered to those who've been affected. So we're looking for licensed counselors, social workers, psychologists, psychiatrists, even RNs who have mental health experience. That's one of the areas in this region that I think we are lacking and we have a gap is recruiting mental health people.
You know, phone trees used to be employed during emergency situations with the internet and being able to send out alerts to cell phones. How's all the technology changed and improved communications in an emergency situation?
Well, we've come a long way since phone trees. I'm sure there are a lot of people who still use phone trees.
Last-ditch
resort when your technology doesn't work. But Ohio Responds that I mentioned earlier, the registry, also serves as a notification system. So anyone who's registered, they have their cell phone in there, their email. We can send out mass distribution emails. That's primarily how we communicate with volunteers. And then, of course, in an emergency, we can do phone calls. And we actually are required to do an annual call-out drill where we test how well they respond to us. Are they acknowledging our call-out? So we're graded on that. And so we're slowly improving that, letting people know how to go. How will you be activated? That's important for them to know. You will be activated primarily via either an email or a phone call. Listen to the entire message and follow through if you're able to respond, follow the directions. It's really a pretty good system, and I think K-Helps does something similar.
Very, very similar. It's really easy. I can go in a few clicks, and I can call all 500 of my volunteers just like that. Mm-hmm. I can send them an email at the same time as well. And then they have multiple ways to respond. Maybe they missed the phone call. Then they know to check their email. That way they can respond. We send those out at least once a year. I do in Northern Kentucky about two or three times a year just to keep up with the volunteers to make sure that, hey, we haven't forgotten about you. You are important to us. You know, don't forget that we're here and that you once loved to be a volunteer, you know?
Mm-hmm. And we will continue our conversation about the Medical Reserve Corps. You can join us at 513-419-7100. This is Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU. This is Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU. I'm Mark Haney, and we're talking about the Medical Reserve Corps with Tri-State Medical Reserve Corps Regional Director Robin Thomas and Coordinator of the Northern Kentucky Medical Reserve Corps, Jessica McElroy. You can join us at 513-419-7100, email talk@wvxu.org, or you can find us on Facebook or Twitter. So how much of a time commitment is there if somebody volunteers to do this?
It's up to the volunteer how much time they want to spend on it, really. Initially, the initial signing up is, you know, an orientation.
Orientation is the one in-person thing that we require in Northern Kentucky. And the orientation is about 2 hours. We have 4 a year in Northern Kentucky, so a couple during the evening hours, like after work, and then we have 2 on Saturdays. So if you can't make, you know, the next one, then we always have another one coming up. It's about every 3 to 4 months we have one. And that's the only mandatory thing that we ask of the volunteers. Everything else is based upon their time and what their schedule allows. I mean, we offer training opportunities throughout the year. We have a big annual summit in early spring.
Yeah, we do an annual disaster volunteer training summit, where we conduct a full day of training, and we invite all the disaster volunteer agencies, volunteers in the region. So Red Cross, volunteers in police service, amateur radio, CERT teams, which are the community emergency response teams. And we usually have a pretty good turnout, usually over 100 to 150 people who come out and do this training every day. And we just did that on June 3rd, which was our 9th annual event. So next spring, summer, hopefully in the spring, we will be conducting our 10th one. So it'll be a big anniversary for us. And we try to do CPR and first aid training every 2 years. Again, a lot of the training can be done online to accommodate a volunteer's own schedule. And of course, obviously, all the exercise participation is purely voluntary. We highly recommend taking all the opportunities that we have available. One of the things that is really great in this region is how we collaboratively plan with our partners. So we come across other opportunities for volunteering that we expose our MRC volunteers to. So for example, Jessica this morning posted on the Greater Cincinnati Northern Kentucky International Airport full-scale exercise. FAA requires them to do that full-scale exercise every 3 years. And so they really need
volunteers
to be victims. Yep. So they come in and they get moulaged. And for those people who don't know what moulage means, it means you get fake wounds on you and blood and everything, and you pretend to be injured. And I believe they are looking for 150 at least volunteers, and they're only halfway there.
So you get moulaged, then you get triaged. Is that
exactly what happens? Okay. And possibly transported to a hospital. But they always need that every 3 years. And so we expose MRC to those opportunities as well. Sometimes it can be very fun for people. They need to take their patients with them and maybe some friends. And this time it's a night exercise, so it doesn't start at like 6 or 7 p.m., which is kind of new for them. So I think it'll be interesting and fun. And then another opportunity is the National Veterans Wheelchair Games that are coming up here in Cincinnati in a few weeks. And they always need a lot of volunteers to help with the participants. A lot of things come up now and then, and we try to open that up.
I'm kind of intrigued by the training idea. What you mentioned CPR. What are some of the other things that people can be trained in?
Psychological first aid is a big one. We've got some organizations in Kentucky that will come out and do that if we get the good interest level.
Psychological first aid, too, is really for non-mental health professionals to feel comfortable with talking to people who have had these episodes where they've maybe lost their home or they've lost a loved one, and people are afraid to talk to people who are undergoing that stress. So the psychological first aid kind of provides them with some competency and some comfort so that they know and they can go and talk to these people, and hopefully just mostly it's listening. So I think psychological first aid is a really key, important bit of training.
Yeah, we also we just did at our annual summit, we did an active shooter training, so that, you know, made people more aware of how to, if you're in a situation like that, what to do, what not to do. A new big federal course out is Stop the Bleed. So it's kind of how to a normal person, non-medical, can help until the first responders arrive, and how to, you know, treat those wounds in an active shooter event or any other event where you have some victims.
It's really unfortunate that we have to do that type of training. But, you know, you never know when it will happen. And it could happen to anybody where you're in a situation where there is an active shooter present. And the run, hide, fight motto, they can look it up online to get some tips on how to react in that type of situation. And then we did this at the summit, followed by the Stop the Bleed presentation by a paramedic who serves here in Northern Kentucky. What can the bystander do to help alleviate bleeding and maybe save a person's life before the first responders show up? So,
how do you keep these organizations, how do you keep them organized with this many people?
Well, each local health department has assigned a staff member to be MRC coordinator. But like I said, they wear many hats and they have many titles, but they're the primary leader of their individual unit. So they're responsible for recruitment in their jurisdiction, training in their jurisdiction, and every MRC unit has a different capacity. You know, if you're in a more rural area, the emergency response personnel may be part-time and unable to really devote the time that maybe Hamilton County Public Health or Cincinnati Health Department could devote to it, or Northern Kentucky. Jessica even wears another hat.
Yeah, we all have multiple hats. My EMRC unit, I cover, in Kentucky, we do a little different. I cover four different counties for my unit. So my unit in, is Boone, Kenton, Campbell, and Grant counties. So that's how I have a lot bigger range than the Ohio side, where they do it all by counties there. So Kentucky, it's all broken down depending on where you're located, by county or district. So then we all kind of meet and as coordinators and talk about different trainings and or how are other coordinators keeping their volunteers interested and involved.
Well, that's another challenge, is that some MRC units will conduct meetings and some don't conduct meetings. I think it's the volunteer doesn't really have a huge obligation to attend a lot of meetings. People don't have time for that, really. You know, they have spouses, they have children, they have jobs, but they want to be on the roster to be available to help if they need to. And if that's all they want to do, that is perfectly fine, because when a disaster happens, we will call you and we hope that you're available to come out. But, you know, it's really up to the volunteer. And if they want to be a more of a leader, they can come into the health department and actually help the MRC coordinator with the whole volunteer management component, which they sorely do need help. So if there are volunteers out there who are interested in doing something like that, that help would be welcome.
In fact, let's talk to Earl in Cold Spring, because I think that's what his question is about. Hi, Earl.
Okay. How are you guys doing? Great program.
Good, thank you.
One of the things I was just mentioning to the screener is that, you know, I'm getting ready to retire, and I've helped orchestrate a lot of big shows in town, EDM, fireworks, and I oversee a municipality right now. And I have all the infrastructure. I'm in charge of all the infrastructure. I just did the fireworks, and I mean, when I did it, I'm really one of the main players on all the entertainment, all the infrastructures of electric, air conditioning, setting up temporary shelters and dressing rooms and all the production, everything, all the potable water. If something goes down, I'm the first.
So you are an organizer. You are an organizer.
Yeah,
okay, a vital skill for something like this. Okay, go ahead, though.
I was just wondering. I wanted to know a contact. I'm getting ready to retire, and I would love to be a part to be able to help continue to serve the community once I retire from public service. So I would like, and I had, I keep hearing all this, and I'm like biting at the bit. Okay, how do I become a part of this?
Does that go back to the registry? Is that where you start?
Yeah, okay. He's from Cold Spring, so I'm assuming he lives in Kentucky.
Yeah, you live in Kentucky, Earl? Correct.
I live in Kentucky, but I work up in the tri-state area there.
Okay.
A municipality.
Okay, they're going to answer your question.
All right. Yeah. For the Northern Kentucky, I accept anybody from wherever you live. I don't have any stipulation there, but you can go onto that website at thekentuckyhelps.com and register there, and I will immediately see your name pop up, and then I can send you an email with the next step in the process. Or if you don't want to do that right away, maybe you just want to find out more about us, you're very welcome to come to our next orientation. You can give me send me an email or give me a call at the health department there in Northern Kentucky, and I can get you all that information to start that whole process.
And when is the next orientation, Jessica?
That would be July 15th.
July 15th.
So on a Saturday. It'll be start at 9 a.m.
Well, I'd also like to refer the caller to a few websites if he's interested in getting more information online. A couple of websites. The national website is mrc.hhs.gov. And then we have a regional tri-state mrc.org. Website that's regionally focused, but we have the same mission, and a lot of the information on that website will lead him down the right path.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And what was the main registry in Ohio?
Ohio Response.
Ohio Response.
Yeah, and that's ohioresponse.odh.gov.
Okay.
Yeah.
Robin and Jessica, thank you so much for joining us this afternoon.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Tri-State Medical Reserve Corps Regional Director Robin Thomas and Coordinator of the Northern Kentucky Medical Reserve Corps Jessica McElroy. Coming up, a new exhibit that looks at the life of Lafcadio Hearn. This is Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU.